The text that helps us celebrate one whose heart God opened is from Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. These are Paul's words. He says, "We set sail from Tros and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home.' And she prevailed upon us." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The heart is an amazing organ. It is rhythmic and it's relational, working with the lungs and the whole respiratory system to carry life-giving oxygen to every organ, every muscle, every tissue, in every part of the body to give life. That's where I'm going tonight with the text. I'm going with the idea that as God opens our hearts, he does that so that our lives are in rhythm with God's life, and that we are drawn into relationship with the God of all creation so that we might have life both here in this world and in the life to come. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe I am the last person who should give a sermon based on the theme, "Open My Heart, Lord." The truth is, I am a head guy. I am a thinker. And as I've been trying to find inspiration for this sermon, I've been thinking the texts and the theme to death. Again, I'm just that way. I'm wired that way. I'm a thinker. I'm a head guy and not so much about the heart. I'll give you an example of some of the things that I've been overthinking, because they're good things. So I did a word search in Scripture to find all the instances where God affected the heart, and it's actually quite a lot. I'm not going to go over them all, but here are three examples. It's most prolific in the story of the Exodus. Several times we're told that Pharaoh, as God is dealing with Pharaoh through Moses and sending plagues upon Pharaoh, trying to convince him to let God's people go, we're told that Pharaoh hardened his heart. At other times, more often, we're told that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God affects the heart, the hearts of God's enemies. In this reading that we have before us tonight from Acts 16, God opens Lydia's heart to the Word of God. It's a beautiful story. God affects the heart of God's followers. In Ezekiel, another Old Testament book, God says of Israel, "When they come into the land, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh, that they may walk in my ways and keep my commandments." God affects the hearts, the heart even of nations. I also thought about and researched The Wizard of Oz, that great old movie. And I learned as I researched that, and it came to mind because the tin man was seeking what? He was seeking a heart, right? The lion was seeking courage, and the scarecrow was seeking a brain. Well, as it turns out, tin man and the lion really are searching for the same thing. You see, in Latin, the root word for the word courage, which is what the lion is seeking, the root word for courage is cor, C-O-R, and it means heart. So courage moves the heart. And the heart moves a person. It moves a person beyond fear toward action. And in God's reign, that means something specific. It means that the heart, courage moves the heart, and the heart moves the person from fear toward the neighbor, toward the other. A courageous person is one who has the propensity, the ability to act, to overcome fear and to act, to move, to step forward. And oh my, how our world needs that kind of courage today. It especially needs it from the church. A courageous church that is willing to follow the heart of God in movement toward the neighbor in love. I've also thought about images and ideas that we have about the heart. We talk about a broken heart. We talk about an open or a closed heart. We talk about a cold heart or a warm heart. We talk about someone as having no heart or a big heart. But scientifically, we all know that the heart is only a muscle. It's a muscle which pumps blood through our bodies, blood which carries life-giving oxygen to feed each and every part, each and every organ, each and every tissue, each and every part of our body, and to sustain life. So I've thought and I've thought and I've thought some more about the text and the theme, and I thought some more, and then I thought, I need to stop thinking. I need to stop thinking and get out of my cerebral space and try to tap into the heart. So the first thing I did, and I invite you to do this with me now, was to put my finger on my neck, two fingers on my neck, and try to find my pulse, to feel the beat, the rhythm, the pulse of my heart, that muscle which cooperates with the lungs and pumps life, giving oxygen through the body. Rhythm. God is about rhythm. And God is about relationship. Open my heart, Lord. Open my heart, that I might be in rhythm with you. That I might find myself in a more deeply rooted relationship with you, that draws me towards my neighbor. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, David wrote in those words that we hear in Psalm 51 today. And he wrote those words when his heart was far from God. After his sin with Bathsheba, you know the story, Uriah's wife, a man who David ended up murdering by putting him on the front lines because he had a desire to take Bathsheba for himself. In his affair, he had impregnated Bathsheba, and he needed to hide that sin, and so he sent Uriah to the front lines. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, was David's prayer when God finally brought him to his senses. Lydia was a God worshiper. She worshiped God, but her heart was not fully in rhythm with God. She did not know about God's love, God's grace, God's mercy through Jesus Christ. She had a weak spiritual pulse at best. And God opened her heart. God opened her heart to God's love in Jesus. And she began to serve in the ministry of hospitality by inviting the disciples into her home. God opened her heart to God's love in Jesus. Paul, too, in the first reading, Paul had proclaimed Jesus to the Corinthian church. It was a group that had now turned away from Paul's teaching and had started to listen to false doctrines. Their heart had turned away from the truth. Their heart was barely beating. Their heart was not in rhythm with God. It was out of sync. It had grown cold. Their faith was on life support. It was out of rhythm. And so Paul pleads. He pleads, our hearts are wide open to you. Open your hearts to us and to the word we bring. Open your hearts to God's truth, to the life-giving oxygen of God's word to God. And to God's will in Jesus. Paul is pleading for them to return to the rhythm of life with God and to return to that relationship so that it might be restored. On one level, when I get back to thinking about these texts and this theme, on one level, I feel, I'm out of my head for a little bit, I feel that this is rather futile. You see, no more can I restart my own heart when it stops beating than I'm able to open my heart to God. And so the direction of this prayer tonight, the direction of this prayer is right. It's not, I open my heart to you, O Lord, but it's open my heart, O Lord. But I would argue that the opening of our hearts begins in holy baptism as God's Spirit is poured out upon us. God begins the work of opening our lives and our hearts to His way, to His truth, to His path. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to blow through our lives, to give, to restore rhythm and relationship. Open my heart, O Lord. You see, repentance is really the spiritual practice that we're looking at tonight. Repentance is, it's not only about saying, I'm sorry, God, I've failed. It's also about taking a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth look at the ways of God, at the kingdom ways that God has laid before us. And it's an opportunity to wrap our minds around this amazing kingdom that God has brought to us in Jesus Christ, a kingdom that is enacted by courageous love, that is willing to serve, that is willing to be vulnerable, that is willing to beat with the heart of God and be in intimate relationship with God. It's about taking a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh look at that kingdom, whatever it takes, a new look each day, and at the values of that kingdom and its practices, values that transform our heart to move us with a courageous love towards the world that is broken, hurting, and in need. You see, Ephesians declares, while we were dead in our trespasses, in other words, while we were totally out of sync with God, when we didn't even have a heartbeat, God sent his son Jesus to draw us into God's kingdom ways. God didn't think God's way into our lives. Instead, God opened God's heart to us. God opened God's heart to you. God opened God's life to you. And God became vulnerable in that love. An incarnate love, a love of the flesh, a love that risks rejection, a love that risks rejection at the high cost of death, the death of his one and only son. And there in that tomb, cast off by human beings, slaughtered as a sacrificial lamb, God restored the beat, the rhythm of Jesus' life. God was faithful to his son. God was faithful in relationship as he restored Jesus' life. And God is faithful to David, to Lydia, to the church, to you, and to me. And he is always more willing to restore our heartbeat, our rhythm, to restore our life, and to restore us into relationship than we are to come to him. We, like David, may fear God's rejection. We may sense, like David, our own unworthiness. Yet God is faithful. And in Jesus, our worthiness, your worthiness is restored. And in Jesus, God invites us into the same space of vulnerability to risk our lives for love. To risk our lives in courageous love. And God will guide us. As God cleansed David's heart and renewed his spirit, a new and right spirit within him, God restored David's joy. Joy in being in relationship with God. David's joy of God's salvation. David's joy of God's rhythm. David's joy of being in relationship with God. And so God will do for you. And for me. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And the beat will go on.